Welcome everyone. Thanks for coming tonight. It's 7 o'clock and I'd like to call the meeting to order. Please stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Conklin?
Here.
Crunch?
Here.
Needhammer?
Here.
Page?
Here.
Salomon?
Here.
Quorum present.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to make a little presentation. This past week, Mr. Mal Heller passed away. Mal was 87 years old. His wife, 61 years, was at his side at the time of his death. Mal was a proud veteran who served in the U.S. Navy during the Korean War, where he received National Defense Korean Service and the United Nations Award. He returned to his hometown and started his fuel oil business, where he was a successful businessman, owner and operator of Howard Oil and Mal's Friendly Service. And Friendly is how I remember Mal, and how the town remembers Mal. He knew everyone in town and had a friendly comment for everyone. Mal was very active in our community, serving on the Boynton School Board, the Charlotte County Jury Board, the Lions Club, the Boynton Railroad, and was a 32nd degree Mason, and an original member of the Boynton Volunteer Fire Department. We extend our thoughts and prayers to his wife and children, and grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Mike?
Mal was very proud of the fire department and his service to the community. Chief Amesbury remembers him as actually being on the force and retired by the time Chief Amesbury came on board. The fire department always had a special place in his heart. So recently, he remained active and come up to special events that the fire department put on, such as their annual dinner. He was especially proud of the France fire truck. I don't know if that has something to do with his fuel oil business and the history of automotive products and things of that nature. But he was very proud of it and the location that we have it in now. So we're very grateful to Mel and his service through all the years to our community.
One more slide, please. Thank you, Mel. Moving on to the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any item or items on the consent agenda will be removed and replaced as the last item on new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have quite a few items. Item A, approval of the September 22nd City Commission regular meeting minutes as presented. Item B, approval of the October 6th City Commission Special Goals Update meeting minutes as presented. Item C, approval to reappoint Bob Carlisle to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a term ending September 1st, 2023. Approval, item D, approval to appoint Robert White Zoning Board of Appeals for a term ending September 1st, 2021. Item E, approval of proposed resolution for modification of our standard streetlight contract with Consumers Energy, and authorize the city manager and city clerk to execute the necessary documents to change out the proposed 5 streetlights and any other future streetlight conversions at no cost to the city. Item F, approval of the change order of any purchase order $5,700 for all aspects forestry for the 2020-2021 tree removal and trimming work in an amount not to exceed an additional $18,120 to authorize the city manager to execute the documents. Item G, approval to purchase the pump for the River Mouth Pump Station for a professional pump in the amount of $20,855, including installation, with the city's insurance company paying for 19,227
Lynch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Salomon?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Moving on to hearing citizens' comments on non-agenda items. Okay. Thank you. Moving on to correspondence. The 2019-2020 Grandview Medical Care Facility Annual Report was received and is in the city clerk's office available for review. Communications from Charter Communications regarding customer bill statement dates and payment due dates. And C, communication from the Health Department of Northwest Michigan regarding free COVID testing sites. Any comments, commissioners, on correspondence? Thank you. Let's move on to city manager report, Mike.
Thank you, Mayor. As many people may have noticed in the Tuscany News Review, there was a public announcement from Dave LaCoupe, Jervis Lee Web Company, about their desire and intent to develop a new 21,000 square foot regional manufacturing facility on property owned by the city in Boyne Valley Township. The city is excited by the opportunity for retaining and creating more real family-sustaining jobs right here. The city's continued investment in land and the necessary infrastructure is providing the necessary framework to support quality growth. Tomorrow morning, the Charlevoix County Board of Commissioners may be holding discussions during their commission meeting on whether to relocate the MSU Extension office to their new facility in Charlevoix. The Health Department of Northwestern Michigan will be holding a free drive-through COVID testing this Thursday, the 15th, from 12:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. here at the City Facilities Building. If all goes well, they're planning on holding a drive-through flu shot clinic 2 weeks later on Thursday, October 29th, and more details will be forthcoming on that. Later this week, the Lawson Lake Street will be holding a pre-bid meeting for contractors preparing to bid on their upcoming demolition and site clearing work on their site on North Lake Street. That work is planned to begin yet this year. Blackwater is now done with the valve turning project for this year. They started their work last Wednesday and they completed just over 150 valves, cleaning out the valve boxes and exercising the valves. That helps ensure the operations of the water system properly. The asphalt overlay on 2nd Street was completed late yesterday before the hard rains came in. The proposed work to complete on Mechanic and Day Street will be done sometime over the next 7 to 10 days as weather permits. The new storm relief water plate at the west end of Water Street has been installed and the dewatering system shut down. We'll be working on the next portions of the project, which includes concrete, pavers, asphalt, and turf that has yet to be restored. We are still waiting on the new dog park turf that was recently approved by the City Commission to arrive. The DPW has completed all the other prep. You may have noticed a pile of broken asphalt at the south open space parking lot. We're not trying to recreate the local pile that was there for many years. Many people probably remember behind the Yucca fence. But anyway, that south parking lot was required to be removed within 24 months after we purchased the property for the conservation easement. Reed Bryant will be trucking away the old payment out tomorrow. The city's annual fall curbside collection, leaf collection, starts on Monday and will run for 4 weeks. Leaves must be in craft paper, not plastic bags, to be collected. And just another reminder, towards the end of the month, for those who would like to watch the announcement of the 2020 Great American Main Street Award winners, they should let Kelsey King, the Main Street Executive Director, Kelsey King Duff, know so they can get those interested sign up. This will be over the internet. The presentation is virtual, will be taking place on Friday, October 30th afternoon. We already had a couple people sign up. Boyne City is one of the 8 national finalists, 7 finalists for the award this year, and the only one in Michigan to advance this far. If you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioners, any questions? Okay, moving on to item 7, it's the reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. These are all the minutes from all of our boards that are in our packets or the commissioners since they tuned in to what's happening with our boards. We have the draft minutes of the September 1st EDC meeting. We have the draft minutes of the September 1st LDFA meeting. The draft minutes of the September 3rd Main Street Board meeting. The draft minutes of the September 10th Parks and Recreation Board meeting. And we have the draft minutes of the September 21st Planning Commission meeting. And last, the draft minutes of the September 24th Airport Board meeting. Commissioners, any questions on those? Okay, moving on, we have no old business. Let's move on to new business. Item A, the 600 Jefferson rezoning request, setting fee. Pat?
Thank you, Mayor. As you mentioned, this is the second reading of the rezoning request to change this property from additional multifamily residential district to the manufactured housing development district. This property is located at 600 Jefferson Street. It's the last parcel in the city limits on the east side of Jefferson, just north of the Parkside development on Manny Lane. The property is approximately 30 acres. It's undeveloped, mostly forested and flat with some clearing and elevation change on the east end of the property. In 2016, this property was rezoned to the conditional multifamily residential district. That was a request made by Ted Maxey, and that request changed this property from the rural estate district to the conditional zoning. And in that agreement, there was an approval of 212 total units to be comprised of single family, duplexes, and multifamily buildings up to 8 units. For the next several years, Mr. Maxey attempted and explored options to develop the property and came to this commission twice to request extensions to further explore those options, but ultimately he came to the conclusion that it was not economically viable to develop the property as it was approved. Earlier this year, Mr. Maxey sold the property to Kisa LLC, which is owned by Mr. Stephen Bratchy. And Mr. Bratchy submitted a rezoning request in June to change the district to the Manufactured Housing Development District. With that submittal, Mr. Bratchy submitted a substantial amount of supporting documentation and a conceptual site plan. And while a site plan cannot be approved as part of this request tonight, the plan provided, given the manufactured housing district has really only one viable use, and that is for manufactured housing and development. And within the parameters of the ordinance and the state guidelines, how that use can be developed on the site is pretty well predetermined. And so the site plan that was provided, I think, was a fair representation of the potential development on that site. And to that point, yesterday, Mr. Bratchy did submit a site plan for review by the Planning Commission if this request is approved tonight. And it is entirely consistent with what has been presented so far. It shows 145 units, And it laid out pretty much here's exactly what has been presented so far. When reviewing the request, the city commission is charged with looking specifically at the amendment criteria as established by 2.5C of the ordinance. And through those criteria, you base your decision. And when looking at those, it's probably important to think of some kind of themes that run through these different criteria. And those are capacity, suitability, compatibility, consistency, and need. In regards to capacity, when this previous request came before the city in 2016, for those 212 units, assessments were done of the city infrastructure and city services, and it was determined at that time there was substantial capacity to meet the needs of the proposed development. And given this is a significant reduction in the density from 212 units down to 145, it's, these assessments would still hold true today. Suitability, in regards to the parcel in the city, there are very few parcels over 10 acres and even less that have access to water, sewer, and a developed street. So this one is uniquely positioned to be suitable for this kind of development. In addition to that, we need to look at the land. You know, is the land suitable for this kind of development? With the materials submitted by Mr. Bracci, there was an assessment of the wetlands, and it was determined that there are no state-regulated wetlands on the site. And there was also a soil assessment that showed that the soils are suitable for the development and constructions that anticipated to go on the site. In regard to compatibility, the proposed use is single-family residential. It's surrounded by single-family residential uses. The density is a little higher than is the surrounding it, but the lot sizes are ranging from 4,900 square feet up to 10,000 square feet, which is similar to the traditional residential district where the lot sizes are 5,500 square feet and the residential or rural estate district is up to 10,000 square feet. So the uses and lot sizes are relatively compatible. Consistency, when looking at this, we need to look at the goals of the city. Housing, the development of housing has been a priority and the goal of the city for several years, and it's identified in the master plan as a goal to help provide housing and all types of housing, but I think especially when we're looking at workforce housing and affordable housing, I think this particular request is definitely needed. And then the need, over the past couple of years, there have been several studies showing the lack of housing and the number of units that are drastically needed throughout the region and in Des Moines City. And so I think there definitely the need is there, and I think the demand is there. I mean, we look at Lakeview Village, that just had an expansion, and they are pretty much at capacity all the time. I think it's a desired place to move, and so I think the demand for this particular housing option would be definitely welcome. So with that, it is my recommendation that the zoning request be approved from the conditional multifamily residential district to the manufactured housing development district based on the finding that it does meet the amendment criteria of zoning section 2.5C. Any questions?
Thank you, Scott. I didn't explain myself very well, but Scott is our zoning administrator, and he makes the staff presentation. Next week, we'll hear from the developer, and then we will definitely have public input.
I'm Steve Bracci, and I acquired this property last February with the goal to bring affordable housing to Boyne City and the surrounding community. After reading a lot of materials and got to know Steve Schnell and talking to him and looking at all the studies and determining that this is something our community needs. I've lived here for 25 years and I'm a member of the community and think this is going to be a great addition. I think the news of the new production facility is great for the town, and it's going to be more demand. Having done some development in the community, rehabbing houses, I know firsthand the expense for stick built and remodel is off the charts, and it's even gone up more in the last month and a half or two. There are no houses that are 250 and below to speak of. I'm talking to Pat O'Brien, I'm a broker as well. I'm talking to Mr. Maxey, who's a broker here as well. There's just nothing available. And people are hard pressed to find any rental units or anything. So I approached Mr. Maxey and looked at the project and thought it was going to be a good thing for the community. And I've submitted a wealth of information to the commissioners, and we went over it in great detail on August 11th at the first reading. And I've got a couple of slides here just showing a rough depiction of it by my designer, Mr. Don Westfall, who designed this community. Mr. Westfall's from the Detroit area. He's 80 years old and didn't want to make the trip over here tonight, but he's been doing this for 50 years and is a pretty well-respected developer of these communities. And he's laid this out to maximize not only the property for the homes in the home property, but also for the surrounding neighbors, and putting buffer zones that are greater than the state laws require, both around the edges and in the front. Didn't try to cram too many houses in there. The local ordinance allows 10 units an acre, which I don't think is feasible, but we've put gone up to 6 or so under the state regulations. We went up to 4.9 units, and I think it'll be a very nice community. As was mentioned, we did submit yesterday, hoping for a favorable outcome this evening, because we have to go next to the Planning Commission, where the Planning Commission gets to approve the site plan that'll ultimately go to the state of Michigan. And the state of Michigan, under their regulations for the Mobile Home Commission Act, then will approve a site plan as well. It's been approved by the local planning commission. And as Mr. McPherson mentioned, that the plan we have submitted is identical to what we have proposed to the commission and to the planning commission before. We didn't really deviate. We have stormwater calculations done now that show by my engineer that the water can be detained sufficiently where depicted in the corner. And Mike, I'll flip to the next slide there a minute. You see up in the upper left-hand corner of the property is the detention pond. That's where it's going to remain. That's the general layout of the property. And the number of units, again, a drastic reduction from the 212 that are approved for the current zoning. I think it's going to be a great addition to the city. Village View enjoys 100% occupancy. They're expanding to another 19 units. I've submitted to the commissioners a study of all the Northern Michigan manufactured home communities that shows a 96% occupancy rate, which obviously mirrors the demand for the type of homes in these communities. So obviously the Village View has enjoyed no crime to speak of. I understand that this community would be the same, very well-maintained community. We'll sell new homes in there. Mike, you want to go to the next slide to show some of the examples of homes that will be offered for sale. Be single units, double units, with garages, without carports, so there'll be a variety of options for people. And there'll be 2 1/3 parking spots per house as required by the state regulations. And again, they won't be right on top of one another. There'll be a club office space, some sports courts, and some open grass area. So I respectfully request the commissioners to review section 2.56 of the ordinance, and on the submissions that we submitted, it begins on page 8, and I'm not going to go through my analysis that I've submitted. We did that last time at the August 11th meeting, and I think that the items laid out in our submission addresses all the factors favorably, and I agree with Mr. McPherson that this fits the T for this property, given it's really the only parcel of this size that can accommodate the MHDD district within the city limits and has city water and sewer available to it. So, unless the commissioners have some questions of me, I'll sit down.
Since I worked on the Chamber Housing Committee about a year ago, it's been glaringly obvious that there's a severe shortage of housing in town, especially for new employees that want to work and live in town. And it's quite often that new employees are faced with locating housing 20 to 30 miles from town, and this has got to be a bit discouraging. Consequently, I think it's important that this commission do everything in its power to, improve or increase the housing and improve this project. And I think this project is especially attractive considering the density has been reduced about 30% from the previous project. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Yes, sir.
I'm Frank Carlton. I live at 1111 Jefferson. I'm just up the hill from this project. First of all, thanks for listening to you guys. I have two key points to make. The first is about zoning. The second is about growth. Regarding zoning, zoning exists in a large part to give residents an expectation. In other words, here is what you can expect to happen in the area surrounding your home, in your neighborhood. As was mentioned, about 4 years ago, this parcel was zoned as a rural estate district. Reading from the Boynton City Code of Ordinances, the purpose of this residential district, referring to rural estate, is to provide a pleasant and attractive living environment which is consistent with the existing development and respects the unique natural environment. The rural estate district is intended to be a setting for a predominance of low density and large lots. And that's what we came from. Now we're talking 145 houses packed in for 30 acres. Again, this was zoned as low density, large lot housing that respects the unique natural environment. This, in my opinion, is what Boynton City promised us as homeowners in the area, and I don't see how 145 manufactured homes fit in with that promise. My second point is about growth. We hear a lot about growth. There's no question this would be a successful project in my mind. I mean, grow. This will help us do it. I've been told, Mr. Maxey, who's a neighbor of mine, he lives across the street from me, and he came over the other day and we were talking about this thing, and he said, we have to do this in order to grow. We either grow or we die. And yeah, that's the developer's mantra. He's a developer, and I know he believes that. have to have more affordable housing in order to grow. Growth is good. And my point would be that maybe that growth is not good for everyone. Most of the people I know who live in Boynton City were attracted because it's a small town, clean living, wholesome environment. We all love it for that. Well, if we continue to grow unchecked, we're not going to have a small town anymore, by definition. We've already attracted one big box store. Tractor Supply moved in on the edge of town. And you can bet that other big box stores are just watching and waiting for us to grow to a certain level of population and wealth so that they can move in and make money here as well. It's just what's going to happen. It happens, the town that I live in Georgetown, Texas, has done the same thing. The big box stores move in on the periphery of town. The downtown area becomes a strip of bars and restaurants and t-shirt shops. Nobody makes the kind of business where you go to buy things that you need in downtown. And that's going to happen to Boynton City, I believe. Personally, I think we have a wonderful town here. I don't see a reason to go pile it headlong into more uncontrolled growth. Thanks for your time.
Hi, Jeff Porter, 620 Jefferson. I own all the property just to the north of this development. I do have a question for the developer. On the north side, about two-thirds from west to east, there's a runoff creek that runs down from a spring from the north. I don't see anywhere in that plan that you can get that water to that detention pond. Because you're going all the way across the whole parcel.
Just be aware, he's not required to answer your question.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
My next question is for the commission on this. Back on July 20th, this was presented to the planning commission. And at that point, there was a motion made with no further board decision, motion by Newton, second by Shute, to not recommend to rezone parcels. And there were four yeas, so the motion passed. I don't know how it got to this point. I thought the planning commission had to pass it for recommendations to go to the city commission. I guess I'm just looking for an answer how we...
We'll try to address that and then we'll talk.
Okay. All right. I guess that's pretty much all I had, but I'll kind of chime in here. I've been here 35 years. I moved from a suburb in Detroit, grew up in a subdivision, moved up here and bought a house in town. I figured, oh, I want some more space. So we bought 620 Jefferson with 25 acres to have some space. And now they're planning on putting 145 units next to me. The small town feel is going away. So, thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Next up. Hi, I'm Jim Walker, 720 Jefferson Street. I've lived on Jefferson Street since 2014, and I too bought the house and fixed it up. It was in a farmhouse, and the reason I bought it, I was told it was I was in an area where it was rural, if you will. It was rural estate zoned, and I was there like 2 years, and all of a sudden, we're looking at a piece of property down the road, which I should have bought, which I could have bought, but I didn't buy, because I thought it was just a, you know, it was a beautiful piece of property, but it was in the city, and, you know, the realtor said, oh, nobody's going to get that, that's too swampy, that's too this, it's too that. And it is a beautiful, beautiful piece of property. It has some beautiful timbers on it. You got turkeys roosting in the trees. You got deer on it. There's owls on it. Mm-hmm. And to think, you know, it breaks my heart to think that you can take a piece of property like that, you rezone it, and you rezone it again. Zoning seems to have no... You do whatever you want. So when it comes to you and you rezone, it doesn't mean anything. And this beautiful piece of property, you've just expanded the trailer court, and now you have this other development 2 blocks away on the north side of the Boyne River. And it's, I feel like, what did we do wrong? What did we do to deserve this? We have a number of very good people there. We have low income. We have subsidized housing. We have manufactured homes. We have regular houses. And now you want to put in another manufactured home or trailer court. And if that's the legacy that you want to leave with our kids and our family, you know, this is the group that built a manufactured home development. And they have a lifespan of about 30 to 50 years. That's the data that I need. And I've seen them. I've come from a town that had them right downtown. And it's heartbreaking. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
I'm Jane McKenzie. I live at 847 West Division Street. Cities develop for people to live in. Cities develop water and sewer treatment plants and water systems so that they can have a higher density for people. It's nice to have open space in cities, which, you know, we have a beautiful park system within the city. But if land's available to develop, it makes more sense for it to be used for the people in the city. Housing North did a study recently that said that there's a need for 200 new houses or apartments for people every year within Boyne City. So I think there's a need for this. The city has thought ahead in order to have the streets and the water and the sewer available for it. I don't know when. So I think this is a good idea. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes.
Good evening. I'm Steve Schnell. I'm the Charlotte County Housing Ready Program Director. I'm also a Boyne City resident. I have a piece of property, my wife and I have a piece of property on the 200 block of Jefferson. I think it's 200 block. We don't have a house on it yet, so we don't have an address, but it's in that area. And I really understand the need or the concern about change in a community because, you know, in the community that I grew up in, another community away from here, it's hard to imagine something that I've known for over 50 years to go to something different, to be anything but what it was when I was growing up there and all the good memories that I had there. It's especially hard for anybody that's moved to a northern area to understand how a wooded area could be converted. But I think I reflect what Jane said. We really have a duty within city limits where a lot of the jobs are to provide the housing in that area. I know from my own personal history living in this area, it's difficult to find jobs, exactly where you live. And if you have the opportunity to have both a job and a house where you live, you have a real opportunity to save a lot of money. If you look at the housing and transportation costs for our area and you compare them to a city, they're quite a bit higher. And so you think about the impact of that on not only are we living in an area with lower wages, but you also we're also living in an area where people are traveling on average over half an hour from their home to their work. I spent almost 20 years commuting between 40 and 55 minutes each way every day back and forth to work, and that is costly in fuel and repair and maintenance on the winter roads. You've got to get your, hopefully you can get your snow tires. So housing is economic development. I really want to commend the city council and the city staff for recognizing that and having it as one of your main goals, because if you don't have the housing to support the economic development in your community, you won't get that same level of economic development. A lot of those people that may come to your community or near your community for those jobs, they're going to be living elsewhere. They won't have that same level of commitment to the local businesses to support them year-round. They won't have that same level of commitment to the civic organizations, your volunteer organizations. So the opportunity to have, and I'm realizing now, because I'm working from home during COVID, my first day on the job is March 16th of the executive order. I've been working from home and I've never had that opportunity before. Instead of traveling an hour each way, I'm spending an hour walking around City Park with my dog, or I'm spending an hour, maybe some of that time, I'm shopping at a local business because now I can just walk to go get my groceries at the grain train. So all those opportunities that open up when you're able to live and work in the same space, with all these new jobs coming, with the jobs that are here right now, Jay mentioned the study that our organization, Housing North, did. There's hundreds of houses that we need, and we need them even more now because of post-COVID. Housing market is through the roof, the demand is through the roof. Everybody wants to move up here, everybody wants to live and work close to home. So am I near my 5 minutes?
You're 3 minutes.
Oh, good.
But see, I might explore a little bit because I don't know if everybody knows this, but Steve is a staff. His salary is being paid by six different entities in Northern Michigan to study the housing situation. With that being said, go ahead, Steve.
Okay. So there's a lot of demand for housing in the area that's going to be absorbed. And I think the other aspect of this is specific to this project. There's no silver bullet. There's no one housing type that's going to meet all the demand that we have in this area. These hit a price point, a size, and an ownership that is a need in our area. And I think you see that with the vacancy rates, the low vacancy rates here, or at no vacancy rates here at the local manufactured home park. I ran into some old acquaintances in town, and they were walking around, and they happened to be residents. I didn't know they had moved to town, but they have purchased a place in the manufactured home community that exists right now. And they couldn't be happier. I know income levels had changed for them. Their kids had moved away. It was a perfect opportunity to reduce their transportation costs, move to town. They're now able to afford their place to live. They're in a size that's appropriate for them. And so that's an opportunity, too, that isn't available right now in our community, where if you have elderly people or empty nesters that want to downsize, where are you going to go? That house that you're going to buy is really expensive. This is an opportunity for them. Again, it's not for everybody. Some of you won't want to live in the house that I have. There's choice. Housing choice is really the important part. And this is clearly from the vacancy rates here. This is a choice that's really important. Final point, I think, on the zoning change. The previous zoning, it's not getting zoned to something with 142 units. It's being zoned from over 200 units down to 140. So that decision, it sounds like it was made a while back. It was something that you'd already debated, so this is actually a lower density development. Although it was never built, that zoning was there previously. We just didn't see it. So I appreciate your time. Again, everybody's openness to thinking about more housing choices in our area, which are absolutely imperative. So I may be here talking the next time you have a housing project up here. It may be something very different, and the other side of this room may be against that one, and the other side may be for it. But we have to look at every single choice and think about, okay, it may not be perfect, but this is a housing choice. It's really important for our community. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Hello, Jim.
Jim Bellman. Hard to tell behind the mask, maybe.
You're on a stable.
Oh, okay. I guess, yeah. Yeah, thanks for having this public hearing. I live at James Bauman. I live at 1119 West Street in Boyne City. I am the former executive director of the Chamber of Commerce. And I've retired, semi-retired. But when I was director of the Chamber, one of the main challenges that businesses in the community faced then, and it's even worse now, is finding housing for their workers. You know, there are restaurants and stores in town now that have reduced their hours or reduced the days that they're open because they can't find enough employees. And now, as the city manager mentioned early in the meeting, we have an expansion, actually a new plant, that's going to bring in at least 100 additional employees to the community that are already here, because they're combining two plants. The other plant is up in Emma County. And those people are going to want to find places to live that are closer to their employment. And I just think there's a chronic need for this. Our community was worked ahead, thought ahead, created a Boyne Housing Solutions Committee to look at how can we bring in more affordable housing, because they saw that as one of our biggest challenges in the community. You've got it on your goals. And they did something about it. They, you know, part of that led to the hiring of Mr. Schnell as the county housing coordinator. And we, this is exactly what we've been working for. So I think we have to approve it. And it is definitely something that we need. It's not just for growth. It's to accommodate the businesses that are already here. It will certainly make it possible for businesses like Jervis Webb to expand and flourish. The story in the newspaper said that they were so busy that they can't handle all the work. So they're expanding. That's good news for our economy, and that kind of thing is hopefully going to be happening all over. Thank you very much. I urge you to approve this project.
Thank you, Jeff.
I'm Scott McKenzie. I live at 847 West Division Street. I'd like to commend the commission for having this open hearing and giving us all an opportunity to express our feelings on this project. And there are feelings all across the board. Change is hard. I believe the challenge of sustainable growth while preserving the integrity of our town is a very delicate tightrope to walk. I'm the previous chamber director. and I can think of, for almost the last 20 years, there's no way that I could count the number of meetings that I've been in, that most of you have been in, many of them, about trying to find ways to address the issue of workforce or affordable housing in our community. Jane and I went to an open house the other day and saw a four-bedroom home without a whole lot of amenities. It was nice, very nice, but it was like $750,000. There was a three-bedroom, two-bedroom I saw on the market right here in town with one bathroom that sold for $350,000, and it wasn't even on the market that long. Finding places for our kids, that graduated Boyne City High School that maybe want to stay and work in town, or stay in the community, or seniors that want to retire and stay in the community that they've grown to love so much or were born and raised in, is near impossible now. We have to find ways to address this issue. And I think Steve said, something I wanted to there. There is no one solution to deal with this issue. It's a multifaceted issue, and there are components to meet needs from all different facets. If somebody wanted to build equity in a home, this may not be the best way to do it in a long term, but to find a starter home and a place where you can set up a family and then graduate from to the next level, this would be a great opportunity to do something like that. I think it's absolutely marvelous. I was terribly concerned about the density in the previous project, even though it fit the expectations. The lightening up this load on this piece of property is a wonderful blessing for all of us in dealing with less density, but still having a quality place for people to live and move into homes in Boyne City. Hang on, I wrote some things and I now have lost it. Employees are desperate for workers, and we all know the cost of housing. Rental and home ownership is out of reach for most. It's going to take multiple projects with many variations to even bring us to meet even partial of this dire need. This project is one step in the direction to help fill a gap. Of course, there are shortfalls. There's always challenges, and there's always issues that will need to be addressed. But I think this community can pull together and find ways to address those challenges. This project meets a high-demand market where someone can find housing, live in our town, go to our schools, work in our community, and become participatory citizens, where they would otherwise have minimal or any other options. I encourage you to move this project forward and help address the dire need that we all know exists in our community. Thank you.
Planning Commission discussion
kind of went around some items that really weren't specific to the criteria. They were looking at the investment of the property, which, and whether it was a good investment or a bad investment. Those kind of choices are up to consumers and not really a land use decision that the Planning Commission should be making. They were talking about aspects that were not under the control of the commission in regards to the specific structure, the roof pitch, and some other aspects of it that weren't really specific to the criteria that they should have been reviewing.
As I recall reading the minutes, there was also some concern about the density thing, and whether you get to that was resolved for the discussion. And they were concerned about concerns about manufactured housing as a housing choice and form ownership.
Yes.
Correct,
yeah.
That went through discussions that were involved about conditional rezoning. It sort of was kind of tangential, I think.
Yes, the commission did, or commissioners did identify they would have preferred a conditional rezoning request. That's not something that can be requested. It has to be a voluntary submittal. So that's not something that they could have considered. And then, like you mentioned, you know, the density issue was kind of a talking point that was really not relevant, because in reality, the density was much less when you develop that property per the guidelines and development requirements. So that was something that, a red herring, I think, that they got caught up on.
Yeah, I do recall reading the it did sort of touch on the call items, maybe not in an expansive discussion about each one of them, but at least it did come up, and it's certainly one of the easiest to deal with that or two.
Yeah, they did interject some of the criteria into their discussions tangentially. So, did think about those in some aspect.
Sure. Thank you.
And in your opening statement, the criteria in section 2.5, your recommendation is that the criteria and your recommendation is movable.
In my opinion, this request does meet that criteria. And in your review, you should use that as a guide in your making your determination.
Scott, could I ask you, is it appropriate to ask Mr. Broci about how this stuff will be managed with a rezoning?
I don't see why not.
Okay.
Well, it was a land use issue, not a management issue. But
that's why I asked the question.
Yeah. Fair enough. I wasn't going to give Mr. Broci platform to answer any questions that you feel that need to be answered, and any other staff that are involved in the regulation. So, Mr. Gresham, do you have any comments you want to make?
I didn't hear your question. So, how will this be managed and operated?
How's it going to be operated?
Yeah, once it's built, say.
Well, there'll be an off-site manager that will live there.
Okay.
And there'll be guidelines for living.
Mr. Mayor? Yes.
Yeah.
On-site. Yes. Can you go to the podium, please?
Sure.
There'll be an on-site manager that will live at the community, and there'll be guidelines for living of rules that people have to adhere to for maintenance of the homes. I'm not going to allow other new homes into the community, and the standards will be such that they have to be maintained to a certain level. And I think I circulated in my material is a sample of guidelines for living that we will adopt, and something similar to that. I'll have to be word for word. So it'll be well maintained, and I want to make a nice community and keep it up, and people have pride in it, just like in Village View. If you drive through there, they're very well maintained, even though they're older homes, but still very nicely maintained, and they do a nice job of managing.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
If you have any conclusions, if not, we'll go to the Board of Deliberation.
I'm fine.
Thank you. Have anything else? Okay. All right. Let's go to the Board of Deliberation. Rob, you want
to start? Well, first of all, I'm very happy to see this project go forward and this amendment be changed. I fully support the change to the zoning to make this possible. And looking back 20 years, actually in 1999, we started doing citywide planning sessions. And we had pretty good responses, and we followed up every year. And you look at all the different projects that's been completed to make the renaissance that's happened here in Twin City what it is. And one of the things that was always top of the list was jobs, you know, for our youth and our kids. They graduate here and they leave. And we've attracted a lot of people that way. Thank you. So anyways, that being what it is, we have the jobs. There's probably over 1,000 jobs in our industrial park, and there's more people on in different projects and different companies, and we've become a go-to place for getting things done. And anyways, I support the change, the zoning change, and I'm happy to see it happen, and I see it as a good thing for Point City.
Thank you, Ron.
Dean? Yeah, I think I support the zoning request as well. I have a couple of points. One related to the planning commission. I think it's important for us as commissioners to take seriously and actively consider the recommendations that are given to us by the planning commission. In this case, Scott's summary and the minutes of the meeting, I think that the discussion this time, even though it was good, it had all sorts of things to say, it kind of veered away a little bit, quite a bit, from a more active consideration of those 12 criteria that we talked about many times. So in this case, I think that the recommendation that the planning commission made is hard to tell the degree to which that it was based on those 12 criteria versus these other factors that, while important, maybe aren't as critical for us to make our decision. So I think that sort of justifies sort of in my mind, disagreeing with the recommendation of the planning commission going in the direction with the recommendation. The other comment was that I'm a little bit regretful because I sort of hope that this 30-acre parcel, the last larger parcel of the city, was developed in a way that allowed for a variety of housing choices that helped us meet the needs of a wider range of individuals looking for housing in the community. But, you know, it wasn't to be, it wasn't feasible, it didn't work. So this was the option that we have. And while I think we should take advantage of this, I think our work related to market rate housing, affordable, attainable housing is really just getting started. We really need to redouble our efforts to find or try to encourage kind of creative ways of creating other housing types, certainly, and other ownership arrangements that appeal to a wide range of individuals. I hate for us to think that the only option for attainable or affordable housing in this part of Michigan is further expansion of manufactured housing, if not in Boise City and other areas. That there's got to be some other way if we can only work hard at any of that. I think something that we really need to actively consider. Those things, I think that this is an option. It will be at least some segment of the need in our community, and I believe that it's time for us to move forward on this zone.
Thank you.
I pretty much agree with you. Of
piece of land. I think with the, I think maybe the people that live around there, I can understand what you're saying when you first came up, but this is just part of what happens when you're, especially a resort community that's growing and needs housing. So I'm for the plan too.
Well, I really appreciate those of you who are talking about change. You know, I can really appreciate that, and I've experienced that. I've lived in some communities that were just incredibly beautiful, and I've gone back to them 10 or 15 years later, and I hardly recognize them. But they're growing, and I always wonder, well, what do people see in it? Because I don't like it at all, but it's people do like certain areas, and it's going to change. When I came here, the Harbridge was just built, and it was a very hot topic, and people didn't like the Harbridge, and I kind of looked at it and thought, well, it looks pretty good to me, because I didn't remember what it was before. And then the neighborhood got built across the street there, and people were complaining about it, but now it's a huge benefit for the community as far as funding our schools, funding our city, and doing those sorts of things. You know, and I just think that, if this is going to be done right, I'm confident of that, Mr. Brauchy. I'm confident of that. I've looked at some of the other projects that you've been involved with. You know, Lakeview here is a very popular place. But I really can relate to the idea of change. Change is very, very difficult. But we have identified a need. It's our responsibility as leaders of the community to identify a need and try to address it. And I'm confident we've done our homework. Nobody's ever going to be happy, but I feel very confident moving forward that we're making the right decision. And having choices in the future for housing is going to be very important. We can't say, okay, we only want 3,564 people living in our community. Who's going to make that decision? People want to live here. I think we're doing a good job of controlling growth, and we've just got to manage with the changes that happens, because change is going to happen. So I believe in this project, I support this project, and I look forward to it being built and being a community for a lot of people.
Thank you. I am also a supporter of this project for all the above reasons. This is a citywide goal, housing, and it meets our master plan, and it's just a good project.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Salomon?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.